This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back. It's the usual, Eric, Everett, and always Armand, and then we have our beautiful new guest today, Zach.
Beautiful, eh?
Yeah, Everett, can you tell, tell everybody
so far.
Yeah.
About Zach here?
First things first, have you been on a podcast before?
No, first
you time. Have not. So on your microphone, there's a little notch on the front of it. There you go.
Keep this bar to the back.
Say hello to the folks. That's pretty
Hello,
good.
Hello, folks.
Hello, folks. And I'm going to turn him up just a little bit, too.
Yeah, Zach's a writer here at Lineup. And
he writes stuff.
We're breaking him in. First podcast ever.
Media conglomerate.
He threw up
there
earlier.
There you are.
There's still mom's spaghetti on his shirt right now. You can see it.
So we were saying it on the group the other day. We've had such an overwhelming number of these emails people are sending in and voicemails about their own paranormal experiences. We couldn't just let them go away till next year. We decided, screw it, we'll do one more story or one more show about these personal paranormal stories, and we'll wrap up the Halloween season in fashion. So that's it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Right, Armand?
We didn't expect it to...
I'm reading these. They're chilling.
You can't read ahead.
Oh.
You're going to ruin the suspense, man.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Extemporaneous Jesus. Enough.
Team Armand, get on him.
Yeah.
FYI, this shit is possible.
All right.
Anyway, you want to hit the first one, Eric?
Yeah, sure. We got voicemails. Right, we want to do voicemails
first? I figured voicemails last.
All right, I'm with it. I'm with it. All right, so this is from Justin H., and Justin writes in, "Hi, guys. Wanted to share something that happened to my family about 6 months ago. Quick background, we are Christian neutral. We believe in God and that our relationship with God is your own and does not require church and all that comes along with generalized religion. Anyway, my daughter, who is 4 years old, was having a very tough time sleeping at night. She had been having ongoing issues for around a month. She would cry at night and refuse to go to sleep unless the light was on and had us there until she would eventually fall asleep. After talking with her about this back and forth, we found out at night that it was time to go to sleep. She would see a dark man in the corner of her bedroom with red eyes. The man with red eyes. Now, my family being Christian, we decided to pray for her and for our family to help remove whatever presence that was in the house. We did this a few times. On the final night that this had happened, I had a dream. I was standing
Hold up. You find it interesting that they believed her so much that they went ahead and did like a small Christian ritual did a little ritual to get rid of it? Like if it was my kid, I'd probably be like,
oh,
shut
she's
the
four?
Fuck up.
Right, right.
Go to bed. You're not seeing a weird red man with red eyes. But this family is some sort of much better family than mine. And actually listen to their children.
They're spiritual, but not religious, right?
Apparently. They're Christian neutral.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
So he says, I was standing in the living room with my wife on the couch and my mom and dad sitting at the living room table. I was dancing around with my daughter in my arms, and all of a sudden everything around me slowed to a snail's pace, and I saw this black figure with glowing red eyes. It was large and the body looked like to have multiple arms. I immediately began to pray. In the name of the Lord, I rebuke you and cast you back into the pits of hell in Jesus' name. I said this 3 times. When I started, my voice was slowed and felt like glue was in my mouth. I continued to talk through it, and on the 3rd time I said this. There was a shockwave that was sent outward of my body that covered the whole room. A bright light emitted from me, and the dark presence was gone. I woke up, and my wife was shaking me frantically. God, I can't do this. She told me that I was yelling in my sleep and scared her so badly she thought I was possessed. I explained what had happened, and she was at ease at this point. To this day, my daughter sleeps in her room with no issues whatsoever. Take it for what it's worth. True story. That's what he says.
Finish it out.
Let's hear the rest. There's
also Team Eric. I wasn't gonna gloat, you guys.
Finish
also Team Eric, and no, not fuck Everett. He has feelings too. I just think he's stubborn on certain things.
I started working.
Better plain
on the,
to see. See, that's your problem.
Well,
you,
talking about
you
this
see,
guy,
but you do not observe.
That's very true. I hear, but I don't listen either. But this is another one of those ones where it's weird dreams is the central focus of the story.
Yes. They're always around twilight, you know.
Seemingly.
Yes.
I think that's
crepuscular.
I think that's going to be a common or anything for everything we hear today is dreams rather than real.
It's a common.
I'm not letting it go because it's a dream, but.
It's still paranormal. It's paranormal shit. You see a scary red, scary black figure man in the corner with red eyes. Motherfucker, that's paranormal to me.
I mean,
if
it was
a dream or not.
Yeah, but.
I don't know.
But what's more unique about this story is how he, you know, exercise this particular demon.
I wouldn't say that's too unique. That's pretty much how most people do. Well, I guess he went in and battled in the dream.
That's not really too unique,
I guess. But no, the whole ritual they tried isn't too unique.
Is that standard?
Not far from the power of Christ compels.
Is that what you're supposed to say?
I don't know what you're supposed to say.
From what I understand, whenever
I rebuke you and cast you back into the pits of hell.
When you're dealing with a demonic entity, it's more like the will to say that you're not welcome here more than with the words that you're saying.
Okay, so you could ad lib, but it's
yeah,
something
get the fuck out, you're not welcome here, stay out of my underwear drawer, whatever. That usually will work.
So what do you guys think about that?
That's pretty wild.
Do you have a comment about that?
I don't have bad dreams, but I'm glad, because that sounds scary.
Well, it seems to have given some solace to the child, so it worked.
There's a lot of this that I've been listening to, I mean, in the last episode, and then this one, I was wondering if there'd be more about dreams, because there's been a lot of it that's been about dreams. And, you know, I've had... what's it called? Sleep paralysis. I've had that since I was younger.
No shit?
Yeah, for sure. And it's always when I lay on my back. And, you know, it definitely feels like you're being possessed or like something's taking a hold of you or something like that. But, I mean, rationally, I just kind of over time got used to it. So now it's like I'll wake up and I can't move. And so I can, you know, rationalize and understand what's going on.
You can keep yourself from getting to the anxiety state.
Kind of, yeah. Right. Which is difficult to do.
I mean,
I think that, you know, the mind's a powerful thing, especially when you're in that in-between state of consciousness and you know, sleeping, whatever that may be.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, let's, I guess, move on to the next one.
Let me read this one.
Oh, please do.
Go ahead.
This one's from Omar Machado. Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. And just to state in the beginning, I'm Team Armand.
Oh, okay. Now it comes together.
Thank you, Omar. Hear. I believe I'm only Team Armand because I used to be a bit of a man whore before I met my old lady.
It's all coming together.
Yes, yeah. We're brothers. It's funny, I don't see Omar at the meetings anymore. Anyways, on to the story here. Here's some background that I think is important for the story. When I was 14 or 15, my parents had quit their job prematurely because they believed we would be moving out of the country and going back to our home country of Mexico. Anyways, I convinced my parents not to move because the education system is better here in the United States. And as I moved at such a young age, I would have a hard time adjusting to our Mexican life again. I think that's reasonable, yeah. So this happening, my parents had to find a new place to work, live. We eventually found a nice ranch house in rural Nebraska, about 10 miles away from the Wyoming border. Boy, that is rural. Jeez. Have you ever been out? That's rather desolate out there. Anyways, the first day of us moving to the ranch house happens, and my dad and I are walking along the property line, checking out the land that we had purchased. Out of nowhere, we both start hearing old music start playing, sounding like some 1940s music. We both look at each other with confused facial expressions. He asks, "You hear that too, son, right?" I say yes, and we both start to walk around and investigate the noise. We find nothing and just walk back to the house and forget about it. So, eventually, a couple months passed and the holidays came around. Since we had just moved and had acquired a bit of land, our family came over to visit us. So, all in all, my aunt, two cousins, older sister were staying with us around December to mid-January. One night, me and my older cousin, Juan, were sparring in the living room. All right. Big boxing family. Man, I love this guy. Out of nowhere, though, from the media center that our TV was sitting on top of, one of my mom's porcelain horses flew towards us at full speed and lands on the carpet in front of us. We immediately take off our gloves and get out of the living room, not wanting to deal with whatever was in the room with us. We never spoke with anyone about it as we were too freaked out. Well, that is rather freakish, isn't it? About a week later, though, me and my other cousin, Oscar, were watching a movie in my room. Of course, it's in the middle of the night, and we both feel like watching a scary movie. Halfway through the movie, though, the TV suddenly turns off, and me and cousin start arguing with each other to turn the TV back on. We like to mess with each other like this, and we both thought that the other person had turned it off. I eventually get pissed because he keeps accusing me for doing it and get up. As soon as I stand up from my couch, though, I notice that the remote is on a chair nearby that I sit on whenever I play video games. I point this out, and my cousin just assumed that our extension cord that the TV was hooked up to was unplugged. This was not the case, though, as my DVD player was still turned on and connected to the same extension cord. We both leave the room panicking and sit down in the living room for the rest of the night, not wanting to fall asleep. Eventually, morning comes, and I decide to go back to my room to get clothes to change into after my shower. I notice that the small collectible figurines I had of animals had all been moved and thrown from their original place. I grabbed them all and threw them into a drawer, not wanting to deal with whatever was going on. Throughout the rest of the week, everyone in my family but me had talked about seeing a tall man that was, quote, darker than black. I'll go into
there
everyone's...
It is darker than black again. Sorry to interrupt you.
Random, what, the other one had red eyes, though?
Is that, well, I just mean like a common thing we're hearing in all these stories.
Justifying his ghost story.
Well, my ghost story and many others where you have that weird black void where you can't see, like sucks the light out of the room. Just another example of that. Sorry.
Well, I'll go into everyone's experiences that eventually led to my own. My older cousin, Juan, his experience. So Juan is a big dude. He's an ex-Marine and had worked as a bodyguard for some B-list celebrities. Anyway, his story goes that one night as he was jogging around the house at night, getting his exercise, in that he noticed a dark figure outside our house. He assumed it was my other cousin outside taking a smoke break as my family was opposed to him smoking inside the house. He figured he'd take one more lap before coming inside again. So as soon as he's done, he slows down to check his phone, turn off his music before coming inside. He says he still saw the figure outside and called out to him saying, "Oscar, wait for me, you bastard." He starts to jog a little bit to get on our front steps, but says that the figure turned around and disappeared. Startled, he stopped to observe and then claims to hear footsteps from behind. This happening, he runs inside, and that's the end of the tale. My other cousin, Oscar, this is a different Oscar, I guess, right? Okay, so his experience is less eventful and actually quite lame. He pretty much claims that one night, when the rest of the family had gone out to watch a movie, he had gotten hungry, so he gets up to make some instant noodles.
As you do.
Yeah, that's nice filling.
I don't eat this anymore.
Yeah, college, I went through on those things. Heating up the water in a coffee pot, he suddenly had the urge to piss. Well, that happens too. So he walks down the hall to go to the bathroom. Once done with his piss, he looks out the window to see if it was windy as he wanted to go smoke a cigarette. He states that he sees a dark figure by the garage outside. As it is separated from our main house, he gets a weird vibe and goes to lock all the doors and stays inside cautious for the rest of the night. My dad's story. My dad works in a small sheep dairy and at the time was working the night shift. His story is a quick one, so I'll get to it. During the time of all this, he had to go out into the fields and check to see if any sheep had given birth. He claims that he heard someone yell out his name. Now, my dad's name is quite hard to pronounce, so he thought it was one of his close co-workers who he had become friends with, and he shrugs it off. The next, though, my dad asks his friend if he was also working the night shift last night, and he says that he wasn't. Okay, so after all this, my cousin Juan brings up this story during dinner, and everyone shares their own stories. I just sit there, too scared, thinking that I was going to be next. And goddamn, I was right. After a couple of days of everyone sharing their experience, I had gotten real tired from a basketball game, my first varsity game, so I passed out pretty early. At around 4 a.m., though, I wake up feeling like I'm being watched, my room being pitch black. Out of nowhere, I see a darkness that was darker than black. In the corner of the room, as soon as I notice it, it moves on top of me, and I'm suddenly paralyzed and can't move. I feel it going on top of me, and my chest feels heavy, almost as if someone is sitting on top of me. My dog, who was sleeping by my feet, starts to bark like crazy, and shit, I feel the darkness get off me, and my dog suddenly shuts up. My mom, being spooked, storms into the room to see me pale as a ghost and tells me to go downstairs for an emergency family meeting. Everyone is downstairs. I guess my dad had woken everyone up already. Immediately, my mom says that she feels something wrong with the house and has all of us pray. Her and my aunt, who is a pastor, start to bless the house and all of us. After this, nothing happens for months. That is, until one day my dad found a voodoo doll in the old creepy basement. But that's a story for another time. Much love, guys, and sorry for the long-ass email. I just figured it was interesting enough to send to you guys. Well, there you go.
Yeah, thanks a bunch
there. That kind of ascribes to our theme a little bit, doesn't it?
Sure does. Thanks a bunch there, Oscar. And this one was kind of cool. It sounds like he had sleep paralysis, more or less. I mean, I can't say that's what he has. He feels like he had a ghost or a demon or something holding him down. But am I out of line saying I want this to happen to me? Sleep paralysis, for one. And two, some sort of, like, experience with something else.
Well, so it was weird because this guy didn't have experiences until the whole family shared them. And he's like, what the fuck? And then sure enough.
But that goes back to, like, the power of your mind, right? Like, he said to himself at dinner, he was like, I wonder if this is going to get me next. And then it's kind of like a
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Like the reverse placebo kind
of. The way that he describes the sleep paralysis, my sister also has it. And it's funny because there's this particular corner of the house. It used to be my bedroom, and that's where I experienced it the most. And then when she moved in there, then she started experiencing it the most. But it's happened to us both in other places. But she describes it more like that, where she sees like a figure and it's holding her down. But I just attribute that to
imagination. Okay, maybe I don't
imagination.
Want it. No, she has it like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't sleep on my back at all anymore because it pretty much happens all the time.
Holy shit. I do want it to happen, though. I want to experience it. I'm not really afraid of it. Should I be afraid of it?
No.
Is it scary? I'm going to
try. Fine.
I can figure it out. All right, let's move on to the next one. I got this one. It's from listener Caroline, or Carolyn, possibly Morales. Hey, guys. I'm a new listener, and I finally caught up on all the episodes. I've had a couple of paranormal experiences in my grandpa's house, which is where I grew up. The worst one was when I was home alone. The house is in a not-so-good part of Los Angeles. It has a metal screen doors as well as metal security bars. I went to take a shower in the master room and locked the doors as well as the metal security bars. Oh, fuck. Let me restart there. I went to take a shower in the master room and locked the metal door, the front door, and the room door, and the bathroom door. I've always have been a bit of a paranoid and make sure that I lock all the doors. I got in the shower, and about 10 minutes in, I heard three loud knocks on the bathroom door. Three loud knocks again. Thinking it was my sister, I just ignored it. About 5 minutes later, didn't we read this one last week? Seems really familiar. Anyway, about 5 minutes later, it happened again, and I said, I'm almost done. I have a bit of a short temper, so I was pissed at this point. I finished my shower and was combing my hair, and about 10 minutes later, I heard the knock it again. Knock, knock, knock. I was dressed at this point, so I opened the door, ready to tell someone off. No one was there, and that's when it clicked my head that I was at home alone. I checked the room door, and it was still locked. I checked the front door and the rest of the house, and no one was home yet. There are no windows close to the bathroom. The TV wasn't on. The radio wasn't on. I heard three knocks three times, and it scared the fuck out of me. I waited in the living room, terrified, and everyone got home about 30 minutes later. I hated that room and avoided it at all costs after. A little after, I saw a movie, and the running theme was Evil Comes in Threes as a play on the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like demons making fun of God. I don't live there anymore and haven't experienced anything else, luckily. Keep up the good work, guys, and also Team Everett, Carol. Does that seem familiar to you, like we read that before? Maybe I just read
something
it when it
came similar, out. But I don't think it was that.
I don't think we read that one before.
So this,
I didn't know demons came in threes.
Haven't heard that? Like, that's something that's happened in a lot of the stories, like three knocks, things come in threes.
Okay, yeah, I always hear death comes in threes also.
Well, like, I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean.
Pregnancies.
That's paranormal.
Oh,
I've heard that before.
Pregnancy.
Maybe it's the other side, you know.
Could very well be. No, that's two running themes, though, that I'm seeing. There's probably more that I'm not thinking off the top of my head. Three. Dreams.
Right.
The knocks and threes and the dark black shit.
Yeah.
So those are the ones we keep hearing over and over and over again. So I don't know. Anyway, Eric, you want to hit this next one?
I do. This is from Chris Burford. And
he's a Team Everett guy. I know that. So.
Yeah, Chris is a good guy.
That out
he's
there.
Always listening.
Is he a Team Everett guy?
Yeah, he said in the chatter.
I mean, right I don't
there.
Think so.
Yes.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time writer. To preface, at the time, I didn't believe in the supernatural, but now I am more open. At the time of the event, I was 8. Now I'm 29. We are renting a centennial farmhouse in northeastern Ohio. For my parents' 10-year anniversary, they spent a week in Gettysburg. I could write more stories from what I was told what happened to them, but that's neither here nor there. Not only did they bring back souvenirs, i.e. replica bullets, real bullets they found just poking in the dirt, but they brought something back otherworldly. Now, this is the time before digital cameras were popular, so before we sent the film to get developed, my dad decorated the parlor room, which was used as the kids' room, all Civil Wars-like. Oh, so he decorated the parlor room Civil War-like.
Oh, cool.
In one particular photo, with a portrait of General Grant on one side and another picture of General Lee on the other side, was my dad's favorite, until we got them developed. On the side of General Lee was a smoky figure, at attention, saluting. At the time, we played it off as a trick of the lighting coming through, hitting the dust, and we jokingly called this figure Sir. But it was something else. Suddenly, TVs would start running on by themselves with no explanation in the middle of the night. Radios, not the digital ones, the old school turndials, would change stations up and down the frequency. Dishes would fall to the floor without any explanation. Needless to say, after a few weeks of this, we had had enough, so my dad performed a do-it-yourself exorcism. Hindsight was probably a bad idea. So one night, my dad placed two cigars, poured a shot of Wild Turkey. Is this real? To set the mood even more, he played Civil War-era music on the radio. Think PBS. My dad finishes by telling Sir that he had fallen in Gettysburg and needed to rejoin his men on the other side. Sir never bothered us again after that night. Sorry if this was long. It wasn't. But I thought you may find it weird as well. By the way, Team Surreal, I changed teams so much depending on the episode that I gave up trying to choose.
Oh, so he's not Team Everett.
Well, he was earlier today.
He's still in flux.
Well, he was earlier today. Before today.
That's a unique story there, though.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Like the
his
Civil
dad
War
came
motif.
Up, yeah, his dad came up with this whole own little ritual to, you know, exercise
pretty
the
cool.
demon.
It's like, well apparently it worked. Hey, what's with
couple
Ohio?
Couple cigars, some wild turkey.
Ohio's
fuck it.
Haunted as fuck, they say.
Yes, well, yeah, we had some of the last week. Somebody
we're
said
going,
Ohio.
We're going to Ohio next weekend, actually.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
All right.
Pretty wacky. You want to do another one, Armand? Or Zach, you want to do one?
Zach, yeah. Yeah. Let the guest know.
It's weird how it's always cabinets, and it's always the same things, you know, opening, pictures falling over.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, stuff that can
TVs.
Move.
Yeah, that's true. All right. From Ricky Collins. Hey, bud. You can use that story for your Friday pod. That's cool. You can also use the following story, but maybe keep it anonymous, as it happened to my wife's relatives. Sorry about it, Rick. First time reading. Story. My wife's grandmother had a high stage of dementia toward the end of her life. Didn't recognize anyone, constantly panicked and aggressive, usually symptoms of dementia. The week before she died, she would wake up in the middle of the night and with clarity would call out for my wife's aunt by name and scream, "They're coming for her." She was terrified. The next day, she went back to not knowing who anyone was. This happened every day until the last time when she screamed out in the middle of the night, "They're here, please don't take me." Then she died. I never personally met her, but it always creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah, so I guess she saw the Grim Reaper coming.
Yeah, end of life stuff like that always fucking chills my bones.
Yeah, I've heard a couple fuck stories that. Of people like my father-in-law's dad when he died, like he was pretty much lucid the day he died, yeah. And he could feel it coming, and he was starting to panic from it, you know what I mean, and then he eventually Damn. Died.
I thought that was, you know, the stories are always, they're tranquil and they see themselves, you know, like these out-of-body experiences and stuff. Well, the ones that come back, you know,
it's like
obviously.
The movie Lost Boys. You guys ever seen Lost Boys?
Yeah.
No two vamps die the same way. Some go peacefully, right. Some go quietly.
That's Frog Brother, man.
Yeah.
Frog Brother.
If you've watched the movie, you'll get the reference.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Edward Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My mom used to work in a hospital in the emergency room, and there was this one particular patient that she would go see every day. I guess not people didn't see him very frequently. And I don't remember what the time they were asking about, but she saw him in the morning and they asked, you know, is it 11:30 yet? You know, it was like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then, no, it's not 11:30. What's happening? I don't know. He didn't elaborate. And then maybe a couple hours later, he asked her again. And then she said she was going to lunch and she was walking past, I don't know, she sees where, you know, the red light's going off and something happened in a particular room. It was his room. And it said, you know, emergency or whatever.
Code
in room
blue.
Two, yeah, right, in code 214 or whatever. Or in room 214, which was his room. And she looked at the clock and it was 11:30 and he happened to pass at that time. So that's like the same type of thing. I mean,
yeah.
She's got a few stories like that. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
to
think about it.
ER nurses have great stories.
That's
you
true.
Know, usually,
yeah.
You know, the gerbils and stuff like that. In fact, when I was in radiology, we had a
you say gerbils?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna amplify on that.
Okay.
We actually, our radiology
Wait,
teacher,
do we want you to?
Put an X-ray up there, and basically, it was, it was a shot, a Ferguson projection is what it's called of the pelvis,
uh-huh,
and
right,
there was a nice little animal in there.
Oh
Make
no.
your diagnosis.
Was it
doctor.
Alive? Did they die?
I doubt it was alive. Yeah. Huh. I think it suffocated. But that was a great X-ray.
Cruelly
to
animals.
Of it.
I'm gonna get on Google later and do some research on gerbils and whatnot.
Yeah, hamsters.
See how
gerbils,
that goes.
You
know.
Armageddon.
Well, our next one comes from A. Jones.
You got this one, buddy?
Well, I think so.
Let's do it.
Hello. I am new to the show. I've only listened to a few of your podcasts, but so far, so good.
You might stop there.
Yeah, I don't know. On to the story. All right. A few years back, I drove my wife to an early morning work meeting at the Queen Mary. Uh-oh. Well, that's haunted. Everybody lives in L.A. knows that. Queen Mary here in Long Beach, California. It was supposed to be no longer than 2 hours, so instead of heading back to Costa Mesa, that's a nice town, by the way, California, only to turn back around, I opted to nap in my car while I waited. Oh, bad choice. Not the Queen Mary. While I slept, I had the most surreal dream I ever have ever had.
What kind of dream?
Surreal.
Surreal.
Huh.
Okay.
Surreal, yes.
I just wondered.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Should we sue him for that? Isn't that our... Do we have that trademark?
The lawyers are already on it.
Right. Yeah, contact legal division. I was driving around Long Beach while I waited for my wife to get out of the meeting. At one point in the dream, I realized I was dreaming and tried to wake myself up. It was unsuccessful. I started to kind of panic, and I heard a laughter coming from my passenger seat. Uh-oh. I looked over to see what I guess you can say, Satan? Oh, wow. I'm not religious, but if I had to put a finger on what I saw, that would be it. He kept laughing and telling me I would never get out of this dream. Oh, shit, that's scary. So I panicked even harder and eventually woke myself up. When I woke up, I was driving my car around Long Beach, and I was relieved that I was able to get out of the dream. After about a few minutes, I suppose, I realized I did not wake up, but was right back at the beginning of my dream. When I realized I was dreaming again, I heard the laughter of the guy sitting next to me in my car, repeating that I would never wake up from this dream. This cycle went on for a while. I don't remember how many times it was that I woke up right back in the beginning of the dream just to repeat it. Eventually it ended, and I woke up in my parked car by the Queen Mary, freaked the hell out by what had just happened. I have put some thought into what happened, and I don't think it was sleep paralysis because I was not awake. But I do think that maybe I was supposed to die in my car, or that I did die for a split second. Sometimes I stop breathing in my sleep. That's apnea. We know that. And maybe I witnessed purgatory, doomed to repeat a random time in my life forever. Ooh, I hope not.
Man, Groundhog's Day.
That would suck. It still gets to me a little today, and sometimes I wonder if I'm going to realize that I'm still in a dream and see that guy again to tell me that I'm never going to wake up from this dream.
That'd be fucking scary. Yeah, to realize you're in a dream and know you're trapped.
Yeah, and you're
fuck
never
that.
Getting out.
And you know, like, the time that passes in your dreams never seems to travel at the same speed as, like, what real time is?
No, it's always.
So you could probably
never see Inception?
Well, yeah, but it's a dumb movie. But my point is,
fucking beautiful.
It was a dumb movie.
Thank you.
Point being is you could spend years inside your dream and experience it like that. If you're stuck in and you can't get out, experience years in a matter of minutes while you're asleep. Wouldn't that be fucking shitty? You wake up, you've experienced 3 years of time.
I got bad news for this guy. He might still be dreaming.
Well, that's what he's afraid of.
I mean,
what's more likely that
but
the
are
show
we dreaming?
Exists in the real
he
world?
Got the email.
Or we may be part of his
we
dream.
Be dreaming.
What
also,
if he's part? What if we're part of his dream?
Exactly.
That would be.
Oh man, I hope so.
Fucking it's crazy.
Well, it's gonna make dying a lot easier. He's just gonna have to wake up and then we're gone.
Did we establish if we're a simulation or not?
I think we pretty much we
are.
Yeah.
We are. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's that. Okay.
I'm fine with it.
I mean, I don't want to be
asking,
but fuck, there's nothing we can do.
We got this next nerd, Joba.
Yeah. So this is Joba.
Are you sure it's not Jabba?
No, Joba.
Joba.
Joba Chamber.
Vowel after the consonant would make a long O sound, am I right?
I don't know.
I think that's how the
right
English language
that,
works.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello guys, I'm John from the UK. My story is slightly different to the usual paranormal ghost stories because it's about a particular area where paranormal things have been witnessed by numerous people over many years, including myself and friends of mine. The area is known as Stoke Park, which is in the city of Bristol in the southwest of England. You ever been there?
No, but I know where it is.
Yeah,
Bristol. Yeah, sure.
It's always been a nature area.
You
got
a nice college there, Bristol Academy.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Anyway. There's a cathedral there, too, it's supposed to be.
Palin. Bristol Palin.
Was, oh.
Yeah, never mind.
How's she doing?
I don't know. I guess like a state park type place, but not as big. I believe part of the area was owned by a wealthy family years ago, and they built a huge house on the hill overlooking the park. This was built in the 1500s, but it still stands today. As of today, it's been converted into apartments with amazing views. This happened fairly recently, but before this renovation, it was a mental hospital. I believe it closed in the mid-80s and was left abandoned for many years before building and the gardens were converted into this modern living estate. That's the basic history of the building. A little bit more info about the park itself now. It's a big area with woodlands, hills, a lake, small hiking trails, and open grassland. There is also an abandoned anti-aircraft battery and army barracks on top of the hill nearby. This was used in the Second World War, but is now a hangout for teens and graffiti artists. Makeout point. So as you can see, there's a lot of history here and sadly many deaths. This has led to many ghost sightings, including soldiers, mental patients, and most famously, a woman called Elizabeth Somerset. She died age 17 way back in 1760 after falling off her horse and breaking her neck. That is one story anyway. Another darker story is that she was actually imprisoned in a tower by her father or family members and died. The tower is actually called Purdown Obelisk, and it still stands there till this day on a hill. Now, pretty much everyone who knows this place has a ghost story to tell about it. I've known people who camped there and were scared away by noises coming from the woods and an eerie dark mist. Another guy who liked to go night fishing in the lake saw figures walking across the water and vanish. The standout story for me, though, was by a local football coach who lived nearby and often walked his dog in the park area. One early morning, he was walking his dog and a young woman who was dressed very strangely walked toward him. They passed without words or any interaction, but he commented on how out of it she looked and how strange it was to see a teenage girl walking there by herself. As she passed, he had a very unusual feeling and felt spooked. Here's a big guy not scared of anything, especially a teenage girl, so this was a strange experience for him. Anyway, she walked past. Maybe 10 seconds later, he turned around to see where she was heading, and she had vanished. Now, here's my story. About 15 or so years ago, I worked in retail. There were 4 stores in the city, and it wasn't unusual for staff in different stores to be sent to other stores when staff members were low. On this particular shift, I was the only one working who could drive. Another store needed staff, so my manager asked me to take one of our staff members over there for a few hours. This was the evening in winter, so it was getting dark early. The staff member I had to take there was a good friend of mine, and she lived on my street, so I agreed to come back later and pick her up. I returned to get her around 8:30 in the evening, and it was dark. On the journey there, we encountered roadworks. On the second journey, I decided to avoid them and take a different route. This route runs through Stoke Park. It's not a great route there. It's not a great route, though. It's poorly lit woodland road. It's also a steep hill, so driving fast isn't a great idea. When he was driving up the hill, Kelly, my friend, noticed someone on the side of the road, a young woman. We slowed down, but she didn't react. She just stared at us. We both felt scared, and Kelly shouted, "Just get the fuck out of here." So yeah, I just did that. After that experience, I researched the area some more and read that ghosts of escaped mental patients were seen on the road. One article I read said about a patient who escaped years ago and was killed on the road by a car as they jumped out in front of it. Many years later, I took a friend to the area as he wasn't from around here but was very interested in the paranormal, so wanted to experience it. He wanted to camp there, but I told him to shove the idea up his ass sideways. I agreed to hike there, though, and we had a good time until he came back to a dark wooded area and there was a coffin there, a huge fucking stone coffin with a dead fucking horse inside. Wow. That was crazy enough for me, and I've only been back there once more since. They actually do official ghost tours there now, but sadly, I'm always busy when they come up. Yeah, he busy because he doesn't want to fucking go. I can get that. There had always been a very unsettling feel to the area. Anyway, keep up the awesome show, and I hope this story didn't suck too much. Team Jerry. No, it was one of the more scary ones we've had.
Well, I mean,
Team Jerry.
I think Torchlight makes a good point. We were talking about this last time too. I think, how come they never come and bestow glad tidings and tell us how great everything is? There always seem to be these specters that have ominous signs.
Hey, why aren't they any bro ghosts? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a cool.
Always like, I'm here to fuck your day up.
Yeah, or a ghost smoking smoking dope and gives you a hit or something,
That never happens.
Did you ever see that movie with the 50s kid? The ghost that was like his dad, but he didn't.
Oh, the Heavenly Kid?
Yeah.
Jason Gedrick?
That was a bro ghost. Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see?
I saw Blythe Spirit the other day. I'm sure you guys aren't familiar with that. The
Noel Coward. I've never heard of it.
Yes. The guy's ex-wife who died comes back and kind of haunts him while and his second wife. Noel Coward stuff. Very, very urbane in English.
Far out,
you should read it as a writer. Noel Coward's got some great stuff.
He's right. He's probably already looking that one up online.
You're right on it.
I got to log out of my fake account real quick.
Yeah, quit getting on your own team, Zach. We're on.
All right, I got the next one, guys. This is from listener Keith Dale. Hi guys, I love the podcast. Love the dynamic banter. This story happened to me when I was 16 years old. I'm 29. It was 29 years ago. Everything I put out here is how I recall it happening. I am saying all that to say it's possible I remember bits differently than they actually happened, and or it's possible that some things could have been tricks played on me. But if you could please not use my last name, God damn it.
We really should pre-read these. That's the second one we did today.
Sorry, Keith.
Okay, by the way, if you say you want to be anonymous, just know that that might not happen.
Start with make me anonymous.
Yeah, name withheld.
Yeah, there you go. Start off with that one.
So this was Deeth Kale. Hopefully that fixed it.
Very discreet.
Oh, I'm such an asshole.
He's off your
team. I
feel
bad about this. Anyway, too late now. I was raised in a family that wasn't religious, but was best described as spiritual. We would go to psychics, do tarot cards, Ouija boards, etc. We believed in ghosts and hauntings and other supernatural things. When I was 16, I had dropped out of school and not working. My brother, two friends, and I would hang out and find things to keep us entertained. One day, we decided to do the Ouija board. During this day, as you may know, doing this during the day is a no-no. It's supposed to allow the bad spirits in. We made contact with a female spirit that was really helpful. We would ask questions about all kinds of things and get responses that were usually helpful or allowed us to find missing items, etc. Of course, we started using the board all the time. I even started using it alone, another big no-no. We started noticing strange things, noises, shadows, and almost addiction-like obsession with using the board. I was the one who used the board the most, and I was most affected by it, by far. Our friendly spirit was telling us that she and others were being tormented by a stronger evil spirit. We tried to help. We called out the spirit and demanded that they leave and cause no more harm.
A bully spirit.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
We decided to stop using the board once we noticed that my hands up to my elbows would get discolored every time I used the board. In addition, I would get such a weird sensation in them, it's hard to explain, but almost like an energy running up my arms. We put the board away, but when we came back, it was out and waiting for us.
Oh, shit.
Okay, that's pretty weird. I mean, that's the first thing where I start to go, this is bullshit, but we'll see. At this point, the four of us are very concerned, but we came up with a plan. We went to the church and we took a look. We took some holy water. We put the holy water on the board and on ourselves. We thought that that would work and our problems would be over. It didn't. So at this point, you may ask why we didn't just throw the board away or destroy it. And it's a great and valid question, and I can only say that I couldn't bring myself to do that. I don't know exactly why, but couldn't. By this time, I had very strong feelings for the female spirit I was in contact with. I felt a very strong bond. Sounds like Armand. Let's not let him around the Ouija board.
Yeah, we're...
It's not assault if they're dead, right? Anyway. So after the holy water didn't do anything, I decided to go with the big guns. I went to my aunt and grandmother. After explaining everything to my aunt and grandmother, we all stayed up after midnight to use the board. So my aunt and I were on the board, and we made contact. My aunt was fierce, and it came out that there was never a female spirit. It was always the evil spirit, and it was trying to possess me. My aunt and grandmother were very concerned when they got to experience my arms. One more try there. My aunt and grandmother were very concerned when they got to experience my arms while using the board. Once my aunt got the information that there was really the only spirit, that she started attacking it, insulting it, and telling how weak it is. She continued on about how it has no power over us and to go away and leave me alone. The spirit cried out on the board for me to help, for me to stop my aunt's attacks. The really scary thing is that I almost did. I came close to yelling at my aunt, flipping over the board and leaving with my connection to the spirit intact. I mean, really close. I mean, it physically hurt me, and I'm really surprised that I didn't intervene. My arms went back to normal, and the board went quiet. I was free, and when I say that, I mean I could actually feel it. I was no longer connected to the spirit. I was relieved, but at the same time, really sad. It was like losing a best friend. I never used or owned a board, tarot card, or et cetera after that. I respectfully stay away from the tools of the practice, and though it still greatly interests me, and I do enjoy the podcasts and books, et cetera, on the subject. Thanks for putting out a very entertaining show. My only wish is that you had a bit more often so that I could listen to it more. Keep up with the great idea, or great work, fellas.
Oh, thank you.
He doesn't like you anymore anyway.
Yeah, I don't believe him.
Yeah. You divulged him. Very confidential information.
I blew a spot for sure.
That's interesting. You know what Ouija comes from, that name?
I have no clue what.
It comes from oui and ja. Yes in French and yes in German.
Yes, yes.
Correct. I don't know how they came up with that, but that's what it's from.
You guys ever use a Ouija board?
Yeah.
Sure. You ever get any, like...
Nothing very helpful.
You felt legitimate?
Never.
No, nothing out of it. But that's interesting about what happened to his arms.
Do you feel that maybe his aunt was leading this to help him out, like just making it seem like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take it to the bad to make it like we got to the bottom of it, like it's only one spirit. Now he believes that we've got to the bottom of this. Now I'm going to berate the spirit to make him feel better. You think that's a possibility? Because that sounds like something I would do.
Absolutely.
Just take over the situation and then make the person at ease by destroying the spirit in any way that, you know, seemed authoritarian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Just me.
I think he brings up a good point, too, at the beginning about memories and how unreliable they really are, like witness testimony or something like
sure.
that. Like, when they bring up, like, I've heard that you don't actually remember things. You just kind of, like, remember your memories. Like, something happens to you as a kid, and you've thought about it so many times since then. You just kind of...
I've heard that, too.
Yeah. So I wonder about a lot of these ghost stories, if that's what's going on. You know, for a couple of weeks, it's unexplained, and then the further you go down your life, it's just... Well,
it's like making a copy of a tape. It's a copy of a copy of a copy, and eventually
right.
it's...
Well,
you know.
In fact, we were taught when I was in neuro that memories are more or less, you know, you have this little filing system you put, but that they found is not exactly true. In fact, when you do a memory or even come up with a memory again, you're actually creating it again. It's not like you're looking it up in a file. So yeah.
The more times you draw back on that memory, probably the different than
you may be embellishing more, since you're creating it again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, what's the no-no about using a Ouija board by yourself? I didn't know that was contraindicated.
Well, I don't know, man. I would think if you're pulling spirits in, you'd want to have a buddy system thing going on.
Not me. You know, not if it's a woman spirit.
Well,
it's like running from a bear where you hope you're faster than the other person.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't want to be faster than a bear. Just faster than
that's
you.
That's the joke, right.
What if the ghost can kill you both at one time?
I don't know.
But what's
really
he hiding in a Ouija board for?
Yeah, pussy
that's
ghost.
That's a good point. Yeah, no shit. Like,
you remember Ghostbusters whenever they had the sexual encounter with a ghost in their dreams in the middle of the movie?
Really? In the Ghostbusters? The first one?
Yeah, well, they're all sleeping in their beds and, you know, they're racked at the firehouse. And they all start having dreams, and the ghosts start unbuttoning their pants. And,
right, yeah, right.
Pretty funny. All right, who wants to do the next
one? Like I said, none of that. Well, Zach had a real short one the first time. Maybe you ought to take this one.
Zach
Shannon?
Has a short one.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can say her name.
Unfortunate young man.
Well, here's my maybe ghost story. This happened about 25 years ago. My now husband's grandmother had passed away at home. She was living with her daughter, who's my husband's mother. She unfortunately had Alzheimer's and could not take care of herself any longer. As soon as we got the news, we went straight over to the house. We were met there by my husband's brother and his girlfriend, his mother, and the gentleman she was seeing at the time. We'd been there for a while when my husband's mother mentioned that it was her gentleman's friend's birthday that day. Pretty unfortunate. And suggested we have some birthday cake. That felt a wee bit awkward. At that point, my husband and brother got up from the table so their mother could clear it off. She cleared and wiped the glass tabletop. My husband went to the living room just off the kitchen, and his brother went down to the basement while she did this. Her gentleman friend sat at the table, and she placed the cake on the table in front of him. I went to the living room to tell my husband to come back to the kitchen. As I was leaving, his mother was getting some plates for the cake. I had just started toward the living room when there was a massive noise. Everyone rushed to the kitchen to see the glass table had exploded into a million pieces. Nothing had been dropped on it. The only thing was a birthday cake, and the only one near it was the birthday boy. To this day, when we talk about it, I think I'm the only one that says Grandma was not having anything to do with the birthday. Wait, I'm the only one that says Grandma was not having anything to do with the birthday celebration so shortly after she passes away. Perhaps pissing Grandma off isn't such a good idea.
Wow.
Thanks for sharing my ghost story.
The table blew up?
Where's the ghost part of this?
Well, she says something like a ghost story, I guess.
I mean,
maybe ghost story.
Okay, so
she
this
qualified.
Day
the table exploded,
I
man.
I get that.
Yeah.
The only person around was the old, you would think it was the boyfriend of the grandma.
That's why it's the ghost.
Yeah.
To this day, when we talk about it, I think I'm the only one that says Grandma was not having anything to do with the birthday celebration. What's that mean? I don't get it. Like, she wasn't, like, helping with a cake, or?
I don't know. She's only got Alzheimer's. She probably didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I assume they.
So maybe Grandma broke it? Perhaps pissing Grandma? I'm just having trouble getting it.
Thanks for shitting all over their story, Everett.
I don't know. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to shit on
We're not here to cast judgment.
I'm not casting judgment. I'm trying to understand what this last paragraph means.
Fucking alienate a bunch of listeners.
There you go.
Asshole.
That's why you're losing team members.
That's fine.
It's that cynicism of yours.
It's not cynicism whenever you can't fucking understand what's getting at.
Well, then it's that stupidity of yours.
That could be. Yes, that could very well be.
All right, Jacob Rosenbaum. First off, I want to just say that I found your podcast, and it's really awesome. So there you go. Thank you, Jacob. I'm not a full believer. That makes two of us.
He's talking about this day in history, by the way, I think.
You can believe in history. But there may be something else out there. I don't believe in demons and all that, but ghosts, maybe. And there has to be some other life out there in the universe, because that's just statistics.
Fair enough.
Law of large numbers and all that stuff. That doesn't apply.
Is that a law?
The odds are. Well, that's a different law. Now on to my story. Last year, for my freshman year of college, I went to a small school in Reading, Pennsylvania, not Reading, called Albright. It was a very small school. During the orientation weekend, they told us stories of what had happened on campus, maybe to scare the freshmen, or maybe they were real. I don't know. As the year went on, my dorm room got unbearably hot, which is weird because it was late fall, early winter, but it's probably because we couldn't control the heater, and we were right next to the washing machines and dryers, so to combat the heat, we used a fan. Every night, we would turn the fan on low, and it was about 5 inches away from the window and the blinds. But middle of the night, around the witching hour, 3 a.m., we would wake up. I thought we established the witching hour was 12.
I thought it was 3.
Is it 3?
I thought so.
Well, apparently it is in Reading. 3 a.m., we would wake up and hear the blinds rattling and going crazy, because somehow the fan moved all the way back 5 inches on the lowest setting. It got too annoying, so we decided to tape the fan down so we could get a full night's sleep. After we taped it down, the next week, we turned the fan on, and again, the same thing happened. We woke up because of the blinds rattling, and we turned the lights on, and the tapes were ripped, and the fan was all the way next to the window. After that, we decided to screw the fan. It was creeping us out, so we would open the window and just freeze the room instead, because you can always add on more layers, true enough. The next semester, I didn't go back, but that was because of grades. I'm sorry about that, Jacob. I kept in touch with my former roommate, and he told me that one night during second semester, he woke up because of the blinds and that he was scared. It was weird, but yeah, that was my story. Keep up the good work. Side note, I'm on the team Surreal because screws picking sides. Well, that's very diplomatic of him. Sincerely,
Sissy.
Jacob Rosenbaum. Well, he's new. He's developing an opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
What do you think about that? That's odd, huh?
You got a follow-up on this dorm room.
Yeah, you think it's the dorm room or the fan?
I think it's... Good question.
Either way.
Probably the room. I mean... And well, after they don't like.
I would say that's fine because after they opened the windows, that was basically it.
Yeah. You don't hear about too many haunted objects. It's more like areas.
You think it fucked up his grades too? I would use that as an excuse.
Could be.
Saw a ghost. Let's party.
All right. This next
one. Graduate, Jacob.
This next one's from a YouTube comment. I take it, Eric.
Okay.
It's a very short one. And I guess this is the last email/comment we have here. So this is from a Noel Ramirez, and it goes like this. I've had a couple dreams about this shadow lady. I can never see any features, just a shadow of a woman with crazy hair, like she's never combed it. And the one time I asked her what does she want, no lie, she said, your soul. Scared the hell out of me, and I woke up sweating.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that was on one of our YouTube videos.
Yeah, I read that comment.
That's pretty creepy. I don't know. Nightmares, man. They seem like a lot of people have paranormal experiences / you know, whatever when it comes to dreaming. Thoughts? Any kind of? I'm bumbling all over myself here.
Well, I would think, I don't know. I mean, would it make any difference to a spirit, say, if it's broad daylight, you're completely conscious, just walking around a park, or although some of these have been outside, but they're all night too,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of strolling along the moors or something in Scotland. I mean,
hear ghost stories at night. I mean,
yes, at night or in some secluded area or some, you know, you never see it at the ball game or something, you know, or
yeah,
somebody's,
where,
you know, ghost
someone
is sitting in the bleachers next
photographic evidence of it, of course.
Well, people think you're nuts. Those people are probably put away. You know, you start saying, you know, if you start talking to a ghost at you know, Scott Trade Center or something, they'd probably put you in and come after you.
As they should, I hope.
With a butterfly net, yeah.
unless everybody else can see the ghost, and then you actually have a conversation in front of other people, then I hope they don't lock you up. Just saying that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if it's real, though?
Well, if no one else can see it, it's not real. Just going out on a limb.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure of it.
Well, that's the other thing.
Seeing is believing.
Is that what you think, though? Would a ghost be real to everybody or just to one person seeing it?
It's magic if they're just showing themselves to one person, and I don't believe in magic.
Have we had any stories like that where when somebody's sitting there and sees the ghost and nobody else even sees it?
I think we had one or two the first week. Maybe it was one of the Reddit ones we did where one person could see it and nobody else
just received a Facebook message from Shannon.
Uh-oh, we in trouble?
Uh-oh, yeah. You're in fucking trouble. No, she was cool about it. She said, hi, the grandma story here. Sorry for the poor writing. What I was trying to say is that by celebrating a birthday a few hours after her death may have angered her, and her spirit reacted to that by showing her anger by breaking the table.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Okay, that makes sense.
See, I was like...
We appreciate the clarification, Shannon.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and take the Team Eric vote now, right? Because Everett shit all over you, so...
That's fine.
I'm good with... Yeah. You coming right on over to my team. We'll take you.
That's funny. Danielle in the chat asks, who is Zach? Who in the world is Zach? Well, Danielle, you're going to have to rewatch the beginning because we're not going into it again. Just not doing it. No, Zach's a guy we work with here. He's a pretty cool guy. He watches the show. Funny guy. Writes stuff. Figured what the fuck. Armand wasn't going to be here today. So let's get some new blood in.
You guys taking team members.
Zach actually wrote the new Avengers movie?
I was not aware of that.
Well,
okay, I made that one up.
Zach is Ultron.
I made that up, but he is a writer, so.
Yes.
He wrote that crap Avengers.
Were we going to go over our...
You got to make claims like that because you didn't know...
Well, no, I denied it because it's not confirmed yet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but Zach's getting married. He doesn't need to lie and get chicks. I do.
That hasn't been confirmed either.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. It has.
Oh, yeah. You know, you just said that.
One person's not watching. It's
okay.
Yeah,
you better hope.
So if I start a voicemail, it says it's 5 days ago. When was our last show? Last Saturday? 5 days ago should have been Sunday, right?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah,
So this voicemail should be legit.
Came in after last show, for sure.
Let's give it a rip here.
Well, I thought we were going to... Weren't we going to go over our favorite... I'm sorry.
I want to hit the voicemails, then we'll do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Favorite movies, right?
We only got four voicemails total. Oh, okay. Three of them were part of the same one, so...
Sorry.
Here we go. Here's the first one.
Hi there. This is Danielle. I am in the chat right now. I started calling and view a quick voicemail.
Okay, so
who in the world is Danielle?
This was left from last week.
Yes.
You're not getting two of them, Danielle, you cheater.
I like Danielle's voice.
She likes you. I don't get it.
She knows. Followed up by a fuck you Everett message.
Way to go, Danielle.
From her?
Yeah.
Here.
No, from Shannon, not Danielle.
Shannon, too.
If you could call and leave that in a voicemail, that'd be great because I'm working on putting together a fuck you Everett type of song / compilation.
Montage.
So.
Because he's had enough for an entire song / compilation.
How long you think it would last? How long you think we'd go?
3 hours.
7, 8 minutes?
7, 8 minutes? Boy.
A long while. All right, here we go. This is a voicemail from Ryan Barkley. He's a longtime listener. He's left tons of voicemails. I'm pretty sure he's an Australian chap, but we'll find out.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Failed. I failed.
Try to keep it pretty quick and get this out so I don't hold you guys up too much. But so this happened to me. I would have been 18, so a little over 11 years ago. And every summer we went to this place at Point Loma University in San Diego. And we did this camp called Operation Good News, and basically they just get you comfortable with just sharing what you believe with, like, your faith. And, you know, they try to make it fun. You go and stay at the dorms for, like, 5 days or whatever. And supposed to be a blast, right on the water, so it's beautiful. Anyway, so the first day you get there, you're kind of just hanging out, just kind of getting acclimated to everything. They kind of just teach you what you're going to expect, and then the second day is when you actually start going out to, like, the beach and different places. And so you get paired up with someone else who, like, a leader or counselor. And so this girl I was paired up with was probably about 25 at the time, so I'm 18, she's 25, and we're out on the beach in La Jolla Shores, and we come up to this guy who's, he looks like homeless, you know, he's just wearing like a black tattered trench coat, kind of like a pirate would wear, and just like bundled up pants, and he's just carrying around this little bag. And so we start talking to him, and you right away you can tell he's just like super weird, and was just like saying like weird stuff. And like, oh, maybe he's just on meth, or maybe he's just been like sleeping on the beach for so long that his brain's fried.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after everything was all said and done, we talked to him for about like 20 minutes, and he proceeds to tell us, like, oh, you guys are talking about God. And he goes, well, I'm a prophet. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, you know.
That's cool.
Whatever, bro. Like,
get away from me.
And then he pulls out these scrolls, like, you want to see my scripts? And I was like, okay. And he, out of a gallon-sized plastic bag, he pulls these, like, manuscript type things out. They're all, the edges are all burnt, and like they
look, this looks legit nuts.
Old. I mean, I know you can weather paper and stuff.
Dead Sea Scrolls.
This stuff looked like it was like 500 years old. And so they're like, had like all these Egyptian and like alien symbols on them. And I was just like, okay, that's probably just did that whenever you had time. And he's like, yeah, God gave these to me and all this crap. So,
of course.
Possible.
Like, whatever, you're just a loony, right? So before we left, we're like, okay, he's like, can we pray with you? And he's like, oh yeah, I'd really like that, and then I'll pray over you guys too. And I was like, okay. But as soon as I
do whatever you want, don't stab me.
I touched him on the shoulder, right?
Oh, big mistake.
Yeah, don't touch.
Instantly, I felt this energy just race through my body, like through my veins, like all the way, like,
was it regret for touching this guy?
Just like funneled down into my feet, like out of my feet, and it was super hot at first, like I was on fire, and then after about 10 seconds, it turned ice cold, and I had the chills in the middle of summer on the beach. Like, it was 95 degrees outside, and I was freezing cold, and it was just super weird. So after we were done, he's like, thank you, and then just, like, pretty much, like, just walks away and disappears, and both of us just started, like, uncontrollably, like, weeping all of a sudden, and I was like, what the hell?
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Sounds like a Surreal Talk episode. Listen to our listeners.
Well, I mean, obviously something was up because it messed him with him enough emotionally to where he had to, you know, cry right there. So
heat, then cold.
This isn't over yet, by the way.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, oh shit.
There's
God.
Still another oh, 4 minutes
oh,
of this.
Him weeping. Oh, bring 4 it. Minutes.
Hey, sorry. So go back to the dorm.
It's all right. Understandable.
Everything was fine. Cool. We're getting ready to go have dinner, and I'm just laying there on my bed. And then all of a sudden, like, I couldn't move. I was, like, paralyzed. I kept trying to get up, and I'm, like, talking to my roommate, and he's like, what's the matter? Because, like, I had started crying again, like, uncontrollably, and I was like, I don't know, like, I can't move. And, you know, like, hippies will, you know, say, like, oh, I see your, like, your color, your aura,
your aura.
And stuff.
Chakra.
Like, I started seeing that on, like, everybody, and, like, every object had, like, this weird
kind of drugs
glow behind it.
Nimbus.
And, like, it was super weird, and there was just like fire everywhere, like surrounding everything. And there's like all this mental imagery that I could not get out of my head. Like the kind of stuff you dream about. And, like, you know, that scene in Silent Hill, the movie where there's that thing with the big, like, triangular prism for a head. It was like,
oh, I know what you're talking
creatures
about,
like that walking around everywhere, like just among everyone else. And, like, the whole razor wire shit just flying everywhere. And, so, like, I couldn't move, and he didn't know what to do, so the guy was, like, a football player. He just picked me up and carried me, like, half a mile to where we had to go, and the pastors were all like, I don't, like, know what's going on, like, and explained to him what happened earlier, and it was just weird. So after about, like, I think it was, like, an hour and a half, I could, like, start moving again, and this went on for, like, a couple days, the whole time we were there, and it was just super creepy, and like the images kept getting worse and worse. It was like just nonstop, just the goriest, like most demonic stuff you'd ever like think of, like stuff from like your worst nightmares, basically. And finally the last day we were supposed to leave, I woke up, didn't have anything wrong. Like, I slept great, didn't have any more of those mental images or pictures or anything. And then, so we went into the same place that I saw the guy at, cause we were getting lunch on the last day, and he was sitting inside the restaurant that we went to. And, I saw him and I was like, crap, dude, like that dude, like totally effed me up this whole entire week. And so I was kind of like trying to hide from it. Everyone's like, what are you doing? I was like, you don't see that guy over there? That's the guy I was telling you about. And they're like, dude, nobody's there. And I was like,
whoa,
okay, like whatever. And so I was getting up and like finished ordering my food, and I literally could like feel that guy like peering like right inside of me, like he's just looking right into me. And there was like this smoke coming off of him, and it was just so weird. And then like as soon as I turned around, like he was gone. So that whole thing like really fucked me up, honestly. Like there's even times nowadays where I still like get flashbacks from it, kind of like PTSD, I guess.
And one more part here, 26 seconds.
So I would have liked to go into like a lot more detail about that, but it was just I didn't want to make it this 20-minute thing. So thanks for letting me share that. I know some people don't believe in that kind of crap, and that's cool. Like I totally get it. But yeah, it was just one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me. So
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope it's night. Not repeated. Bye. Jeez. So I guess it's from touching the guy. I guess.
I just went to Point Loma when I was out of town last week, and
see anything
really,
like this?
Really cool tide pools out there. And then I Googled it just to see, and there is stories about Point Loma being haunted, and there's this national cemetery that's there. And we were driving through the cemetery. I wasn't going to bring this up. My girlfriend's like, you should bring this up when you go on the show. So she has this thing about the number 1009. She swears she sees it all the time on the clock.
I have a number similar myself, but...
And I feel like, again, that's like one of those things where you probably see the number 1008 just as frequently, but you don't have that in your head, so you don't take mental note of it. But one day, you know, we're walking through the grocery store or something, or Target, I don't know, and there's all these digital clocks that are advertised, and the number on all of them is 1009. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
And then, so we're driving through the cemetery, and there's one part, through, you know, it's a long stretch where you can see Mexico's off in the distance, and you can see, like, there's water on all sides of you. It's almost like a peninsula. So there's one point where there's a really good view, and so I pull down into the cemetery to get a better shot of the view. She pulls out to take a picture, and the gravestone right in front of her is 1009. It was the number on the gravestone, and it was blank or whatever. So I was like, and she's like, how can you say that's not weird? And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's pretty weird. I'm still not a believer yet. And then this guy comes up with this story. So maybe it is a haunted ground. And then they said something about, let's see, Captain Robert Decatur Israel. It was, they believe that he's been haunting people around there. So maybe you met Captain Israel.
I wonder who he is.
Oh. Probably a local dude. Torchlight sees 1111. I see the number 117 everywhere, personally. And which is, I play Halo a lot, and that's the number for the Master Chief. He's Sierra 117. But weirdly enough, I'll see that on the clock all the time. License plates, just
addresses.
Addresses.
You know where else you see that? On a dime. That's how many ridges are on a dime.
I was unaware of that.
That's right. 117.
All right, well, I guess that kind of covers it for our paranormal experiences. What we wanted to do, too, to kind of finish out for Halloween Talk was talk about some of our favorite paranormal or horror or just creepy movies. So, Armand, you are our big movie guy. What is your favorite?
Well, probably ones you guys never saw. The
people have
the
heard
Haunting.
Of.
Their 1963 version.
1963. What's so good about it? Just
it's scary
creepy?
As hell, man. No effects. I think the real reason it was directed by Robert Wise, who is a editor. He also directed a West Side Story, and the guy's great director. Anyway, he just made it's black and white, eerie. It should be watched. They made a remake. It sucked.
Do you have anything more modern than maybe one of our listeners may have heard of?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you don't have anything.
I know, you're a huge classic horror guy.
Everything after 1970 is shit, you know that.
Did you like The Shining?
I wasn't scared by it, though. I liked it, but...
It's creepy.
I didn't dig The Shining. I just didn't. I thought it was a boring movie.
It was a little long. Yeah, I thought it was a little long.
13 Ghosts was good. I like 13 Ghosts. The newer one, I've never seen the old one. I know there was a remake.
Was it a remake?
It was a remake, yeah, from a movie like in the 50s, I think.
Wow.
But yeah, 13 Ghosts was super
good. It was okay.
I liked it. It was scary as shit, man.
It was kind of a throwaway movie, but it was pretty decent.
Not to me, but...
Like a lot of your horror movies, though. Most horror movies are kind of throwaway movies.
Have you ever seen one when you were a kid, though, that you never... I saw one on TV called Planet of the Vampires. And it just and so now
it's kind of schlocky.
It is. I saw it as an adult. But I saw it when I was a little kid, and it scared the hell out of me. I just never got over it, you know?
Does it still hold up?
No, it's stupid.
Heebie-jeebies?
No, it's in Italian, and it's dubbed, and it's horrible. But it was scared the hell out of me when I was like 8, and I saw it.
Yeah. I've seen one as an adult that scared me. It's called Veronica. And it's about
Veronica?
Veronica?
Veronica, yes.
Oh, Veronica. 2017. Is this the one with the teeth Veronica. And the vagina?
No vaginas.
What?
Unfortunately. During a solar eclipse, young Veronica and her friends want to summon the spirit of her father using a Ouija board. During the session, she loses consciousness, and soon it becomes clear that evil demons have arrived. And then, you know, at the end of the movie, it's one of those ones where they show you, like, all the real crime scene photos and stuff, and there's, like, all these shadows on the wall where, like, the spirit was and stuff. I mean, it got me. I don't know. Generally,
Veronica.
Is it in, is
when
it in
was it
Spanish?
Made?
2017. Yeah. There's
it's a Spanish movie.
I think
but...
there are subtitles, yeah. And, but, yeah, it was really good. I mean, pretty much any horror movie, I'm not even going to waste my time, I feel like.
Well,
was,
I mean, there's certain genres. I mean, do you think, like we were talking about Halloween on Ocho Man. That, to me, is not scary. That's just a slasher
movie.
It's
a suspense movie.
Yeah,
right.
Slasher movie.
It's a different kind of movie, right? It's not
like your Freddy Krueger's, your Jason movies. Those are
yeah,
slashers,
you know what's going to happen. It's just basically how much blood can you...
I would say Freddy's closer to a horror movie because, again, it deals with dreams, and it's more visceral. You know what I mean? The guy that's in your dreams, you can't do shit about. Where Michael Myers is a real world...
Right.
Man with slightly, you know, supernatural powers, but Freddy's a lot bit different.
Well, that goes for Jason, too, right? I mean, you know.
Again, Jason's more real world than, than Freddy. I mean, he's way more supernatural than even
Michael
Jason Myers.
Jason and Michael Myers, I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
That. But somebody was talking about the exorcism of, what was it?
Emily Rose.
Is that, is that
that's
a good
a pretty
one?
Scary movie, yeah.
I remember seeing that one.
I've not seen it.
I can't remember.
Based on the thing that happened in St. Louis, I believe, though, right?
I can't remember the...
Oh, yeah, I heard that in the hospital. Yeah.
I can't remember the Haunting of Connecticut or whatever like that. I can't remember what it's about, but that was... I remember being scared as fuck by that movie.
Did
Haunting
you watch,
in Connecticut.
Did you watch those movies with Patrick Wilson? Not The Conjuring, because he was in that, too. Mm-hmm. But, shit, where they had the astral projection. Insidious.
No.
Watch Insidious. Now, that's
a good little boy
one.
On a cover? Freaks me out,
dude.
Man.
Watch Insidious. That's a scary one. Did you guys see Cabin in the Woods? It's kind of a meta horror movie. It's a newer one. It's got Chris Hemsworth in it.
Yeah.
Like, is it funny?
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was. Really?
So it's your classic kids go to the cabin in the woods. You know what I mean? But it takes it on a whole new level. So imagine that the world itself is actually controlled by titans, and we have to do a ritual every so often to keep these titans from coming back.
Okay.
And they force these kids to choose their own method of destruction to appease these gods. So they might pick up this trinket which summons werewolves or a zombie family cannibals. You know, just watch the movie. It's great. It's a throwback. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's a whole new take on the horror genre.
So it is a...
I thought it was an instant classic when I saw
it. Almost kind of campy, huh?
It's pretty good.
Almost, but it's pretty good.
Do we have access to this?
Yeah, I can get a copy of that.
Observing all copyright laws.
Yeah, every week. Every week, Armand, do we have access to what where? I don't know.
I also wrote that film.
Oh, good job, man.
Nice. Now you're getting it.
Just additional dialogue. I read the credit.
Did you guys see Blair Witch Project originally when it came out?
That 99? Was terrifying when I was like 11 or something when that came out.
It made me dizzy. I don't know.
When I first saw it, I was pretty scared of it. I watched it
the ending.
With a buddy of mine at his house. At, you know, middle of the night, it was dark. We were both scared. Me and Bill. Bill, if you're listening, I know you're not. How you doing, buddy?
I just watched Ghost Story. That was pretty scary.
Ghost Story. What was that about?
About these four old guys, and one of their sons is dating this gal, and turns out she's the ghost of a woman they killed like 50 years before.
Really?
Yeah, and starts murdering these old guys and the son. It was pretty scary.
What about the ghost movie you didn't know was a ghost movie till the end? Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
That was great.
That scary.
It wasn't a scary flick.
No, but it was a good flick. Still a
it's
ghost
paranormal.
I had a problem with it, but I wouldn't call it a, you know, it wasn't
a paranormal,
jump out
right.
of your socks.
Well, Ghost, Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, you know.
Scary that was either.
Whoopi Goldberg. No, nobody said it was scary. I'm just bringing up ghost movies.
Somebody was talking about that the other day on a different podcast I was watching. They were talking about how ghosts, they apply some of the rules of like some of the rules of our world apply to them, but sometimes they don't. Like they can go through walls, but they can also like sit on chairs. You know what I mean?
Oh, so the
it's
ghosts?
Like, yeah, and it's like Patrick Swayze will be like on the third floor of this apartment building. You know what I mean? But
right.
It's like why?
But he can't push the penny.
Right.
Like, how
he doesn't fall through
there?
The planet all the way to China. Yeah.
How are you standing exactly. there and you can't push the penny? I get it.
Yeah, and that was a weird one. The rules in Ghosts don't really make a lot of sense. What about, would you consider Alien a horror movie?
Yeah, I was scary.
Scary.
I thought
sci-fi,
scary.
But horror, I would say.
Because it's so claustrophobic, you know.
Yeah, it was a good flick.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
John Carpenter's The Thing. I know you probably never seen
I've
that.
I've never seen
Kurt Russell.
That, no.
That was a good film.
Never seen it.
Keith David, I think, was in that. Was Keith David in that?
Arbiter?
Arbiter, yeah.
Speaking of that, the Thing from Another World. Have you ever seen that one?
Let me guess, another old classic. Sounds like about
53, 54.
No,
it's a new one, 1951.
Swamp Thing.
Get Out.
James Arness played the creature. These guys are up in the Arctic, and they find this...
alien?
Yeah, well, it's a spaceship, and the alien, yeah, it's pretty
good.
So
it's the Thing up north rather than
the
Thing down south.
Well, they made a remake with Kurt Russell.
That's what I'm talking about, The Thing.
Yeah, this is the first one.
Okay.
That one's actually good, too.
Yeah, The Thing with Kurt Russell, uh-huh. Was pretty good.
But this is the original, yeah.
Weird, I just said Kurt Russell
like,
and The Thing.
Right. Oh. Armand, were you mental? Yeah, I was
Phil,
there.
Are you
stop interrupting while I'm interrupting.
Have you seen The Descent? Now there's
yeah,
another
that's
fucking
a
scary
fucking,
flick.
Now
yeah.
What's that one?
So it's these four women, right off the bat, you're
women.
Loving it.
I like it, yeah.
They decide they're going to go cave diving and spelunking in these caves in like Kentucky or somewhere in Appalachia. And they get deep enough, and they come across these proto-humans, this weird type of monstrous cave-dwelling humans. Oh, it's fucking good, man. You got to watch it. Pools of blood, mountains of bones.
Oh,
nobody gets out. That's
crazy.
So, what would be the most like gory? What would you say is like the most bloody? Is that one of the most bloody ones?
No, that one, it's pretty bloody.
It's bloody shit, but I wouldn't say it's the most.
Really?
What is the most gory movie of all time? You're asking? Jeez.
I saw a real. I wish I could remember the name.
Red Dawn.
It was terrible. But
how many people Kurt Russell kill in Red Dawn?
He wasn't in Red Dawn.
No, what? No, Swayze.
None. Patrick Swayze. That's right. Good answer.
I don't know.
Didn't they show those creatures in Descent? I feel like that's a big rule that you don't want to
they
do
did.
Very often.
Like,
part
two,
did they do it in one?
But when? When during the movie?
Several times. Like, anytime. Like,
but like, it was like an hour
they
into it?
They couldn't see, like, in the dark. You know, they were cave dwellers.
Right.
So you'd see them like a suspense moment. The person be hugged up against the wall trying not to make any noise. And that fucking eyeless creature's kind of
yeah,
doing
you
this thing all around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
smelling her.
Well, the more you show them,
the
less scary they are.
It starts off like literally minutes
sequel?
After the first one.
Okay.
And they go back down looking for some of the people. Oh, really good.
How'd
bad
you like,
idea.
Did you like that one that just came out in A Quiet Place, I think it was called?
A Quiet Place. I've been trying to get my wife to watch that forever.
Yeah.
That's got the one with the guy from The Office in it, right?
It's a little, I don't know. I mean, but it's interesting premise. You
so
know?
It's something
oh, that's
along
a John Krasinski one, I think.
Yeah, where they're being stalked by some sort of paranormal entity that hunts by sound. And they have
right,
to keep
they're
quiet.
Aliens.
Or,
yeah,
aliens.
Any sound, and that's where then you're dead. You know, you make a sound, and I think that's the only way they find you. They can't see. They just, you know, like some kind of sonar or something. It's interesting.
What about Evil Dead, the original two Evil Deads, as far as gore goes? Those, at least by blood
oh, yeah,
count,
the one with Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, Bruce Campbell,
yeah,
and they were Sam
yeah.
Raimi movies.
Oh, like, what's the...
Army of Darkness.
Not and, the Texas Chainsaw, but the other one ooh. That came after that, like the... I can't remember the name of it, but that's very gory. Devil's Rejects.
Oh, Devil's Rejects.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was an obvious take off of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre style thing, too. I love those types
yeah.
of movies.
Rob Zombie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that good.
I thought it was good.
I didn't enjoy them very much.
Did you like Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Not really.
See, that's probably why you didn't. I love the stories of like the hitchhikers who think they're going to be safe and stay with the family, and the family turns out to be psycho, and there's not a fucking thing you could do about it. Those are great, man.
Just wasn't into it.
Well, you don't like any kind of scary stuff, so you're just a pussy.
Yeah.
Throwing
sure.
it out there.
So if you don't like bullies, vote Team Eric.
Don't like bullies. If you don't like pussy younger brothers, vote Team Eric. Just saying.
I think he called you a pussy last episode, too.
I call him pussy.
Filial competition.
Hey, look.
Just to make himself
it finally
feel
happened. We got a subscriber while we're on the stream.
Hell yeah.
What?
It says,
it didn't come
Yakuza
up.
JZS has drank the Kool-Aid and became a surrealite.
Nice.
How does that happen?
I've been fucking around with stuff.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, this is one of the things I've been fucking around with.
Yakuza, you know what that is.
Yeah, Japanese
yeah.
mafia.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you screw up. You got to cut off your pinky.
You guys seen Saw? As
yeah,
far as gory movies go?
Everybody's
yeah.
seen
like,
Saw.
Have you seen yeah, all of them? All seven?
No, I saw
three,
the first one.
Four, I think four
I've
or five.
Seen all seven. Still say I love that series, man. It's great. It got
definitely not
weird
a pussy.
In the middle. Yeah, Saw guy.
Yeah,
not.
It's... I lost him after he died.
What's the one with the guy with the pins in his head?
Hellraiser
is beautiful.
Somebody mentioned that in the chat.
Okay,
yeah. Pinhead.
So the first Hellraiser movie goes a lot. It's a lot different than the tone of the rest of them. It was based on the book The Hellbound Heart. Clive Barker wrote
yeah.
that and then made the movie. But watch those movies if you get time. I know Eric probably will.
No, they're pretty scary. I remember. I've seen them. I watched the one in Jet. I watched the one
it's been
before.
25 years, probably right.
No, it was on cable TV when I was had a nice stay at Madison County one time, 8 days. So, like, I wrote down, I seen it on, it's a jail. Nope. And I seen it on the guide, so I wrote my name down and made
jail.
Everybody in the cell watch it. So,
well,
it's the only
go.
Thing on TV.
You know what number one is on Rotten Tomatoes?
What's that?
Get Out.
Get Out. Oh, for horror movies. I didn't like
I thought it was
movie.
A good movie. I would never call it a scary movie.
Kevin Hart?
Scary.
Jordan Peele.
Oh. Yeah, it was with those family. They had like the hypnotism thing going on. They would hypnotize all the black folk in the area.
That was an interesting premise, but I didn't think it was that scary. No.
It's like when The Martian won Best Comedy.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes score on Get Out?
99%.
No shit. Wow. Critic or just Meter rating?
Whichever one the tomato is.
Yeah, just 90%.
You ever read any H.P. Lovecraft?
No, he's that's scary. Like the Cthulhu stuff,
yeah,
right?
He's yeah, he's pretty scary.
But Quiet Place is number 3.
Wow.
See, Hills Have modern. Eyes. I don't
know. The first Psycho was pretty scary.
Yeah, the Psychos were pretty good. The Hills Have Eyes, the original was good. The remake was actually pretty good, too. I don't know if you saw the remake, but it was pretty good. The first one was a Wes Craven movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Now, have you seen Psycho, the original, with Anthony Perkins?
I have. I've seen all four of the original Psychos. And then Anthony Perkins was through the first four, right?
Well, he was in the first. Well, I guess he was in the remake, yeah.
Well, then
Norman Babe, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was in. There was four of them with him in it. They were pretty good. The fourth one started with him doing the taxidermy on the birds. Remember that?
Oh, no, I only saw the Hitchcock version.
Yeah.
What about Hostel? That was a cool movie.
Hostel was good.
That's creepy. It's not scary in the traditional sense, but it's scary.
No, it's more like a slasher kind of thing where, you know, it's kind of akin to a Texas Chainsaw Massacre where you're unassumingly taken hostage, so to speak, by a group, and then they have their way with you.
Oh, yeah, Hostel, like old,
have you seen any of the old Hammer movies, you know, with Christopher Lee and Peter
Cushing?
I have
not seen them, but I am aware of them.
Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed.
Is he talking about Dooku or?
Yeah, he's talking about Dooku.
Yeah, so 40 years before
what
Dooku.
You don't know about Christopher Lee is this guy's a legend in the horror movie.
Yeah, he played Dracula. He was great.
Yeah, so.
He's Frankenstein and the Mummy.
Oh, so he's been Count twice.
He has been Count twice.
No, he wasn't the Count. He was a monster.
Peter Cushing. Count Dracula. Oh. He wasn't Count Dracula.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess Count. He was. He was the Count, yeah.
And he was Count Dooku.
That's right. Count Dooku. Count Dooku, that's
Count
right.
Count D twice.
And Peter Cushing was in Star Wars, too, so he was in this series,
too. Chewbacca?
No, that's Tarkin.
Tarkin. Governor Tarkin.
Yeah. I've never seen Rosemary's Baby.
That was scary.
I've not seen it.
It was scary. Yeah, that's
Rosemary's
a good one.
Baby, I haven't watched that either.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mia Farrow.
It's a different kind of, it's a
wrong
suspense.
Is it like Damien kind of? Or
that
Omen?
Was a good one. Omen was good. Yeah. Yeah, Omen's scary. Yeah, kind of like that, huh? Devil, you know. The
Devil Child or whatever.
Here's another good one that I told a friend of mine who was really into witchcraft, and she really liked this. It's called, you got it for me, The Mephisto Waltz.
Never heard of it.
It was really good.
Pretty good, huh?
Alan Alda was in it.
Oh, for MASH.
Why you watch those old-ass movies, Armand?
1973, man. It's new.
That's old.
Too new for Armand.
Yeah, are you kidding? It's in color and everything. Damn. Great.
What about any of the Romero zombie flicks? You guys into those?
Night
of the Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead.
The first one.
It's the one with Leguizamo in it.
That was City of the Dead or something like that. Land of the Dead.
Hey, Last House on the Left was scary.
Land of the Dead.
That was scary.
Land of the Dead.
Which one? Both of them were scary. The first one was worse, though. It had that real bad rape scene.
Yeah. I couldn't get through that. I shut it off there.
Really?
Yeah, it was down
the remake or the original?
Is that Craven? That's Wes Craven, wasn't it?
Was last?
I think that was his first movie.
Yeah, it was pretty
raw. Gory. And,
it had to
be
the remake.
With a chainsaw, remember?
The second one, is that where they put the guy's head in the microwave to finish it out?
I have no idea.
Because they raped the kid's daughter, the guy's daughter, and the guy was a doctor. Well, they caught the guys who raped him, severed his spine so he's paralyzed, and then put his head in the microwave and jimmied it to where it was on.
Beautiful.
While it was on his body.
Fucking hell.
He's paralyzed, so they just kind of slide the microwave onto his head like a helmet, and then...
That sounds like one of the dreams that somebody would call in about.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I was laying there, and I was sleep paralyzed, and this monster brought a microwave.
That's a terrible way to go.
Next thing I know, the popcorn's ready.
Hey, Frank talks about House on Haunted Hill.
That was a good one. I like the remake. I haven't seen the original.
The original, that was in Emergio. It was like there's this schlocky in the theater, like when there's this skeleton comes out in the movie. They have this skeleton on a wire comes through the theater.
Did you ever see the movie Matinee? Probably love that with John Goodman, where he ran a theater back in the 50s during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Check it out; it's pretty good.
Matinee, huh?
Yeah, you love it. It's the same type of thing. He does. It takes place in a movie theater. They do all the cool, stuff during the movies. I don't know. What about Cabin Fever? Which that's a whole different type of. That's like a biological thriller where these kids go out into the woods to go camping, but one of them contracts a horrible flesh-eating disease. The movie is them.
I've seen that.
Oh, it's really good. It's actually good enough to where he remade his own movie like 15 years later. The same exact movie, new cast. I liked it. Check it out, though. They get this horrible, it's really gross. Fucking flesh just oozing off him. There's this one time this guy's banging this chick.
So it's communicable, though? He can give it to
others? Oh, yeah. Obviously. Not only can they do that.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever the local sheriffs find out about it in Backwoods, USA, they don't take too kindly to it. Just check it out. It's a really good movie. I suggest it greatly.
Hellraiser, The Omen. Movies. The Omen's good. Omen that was good. A good movie. I like the second one, too. Damien, Omen 2.
Yeah, you know what didn't last over time? The original It. I watched that the other day.
I don't know. I still think it's pretty good.
Just the scene where he's in the library and all the balloons start.
Oh, the balloons.
And it's just so bad.
But doesn't beep, beep, Richie.
Yeah, that's always good. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I hate that.
And
movie.
I couldn't watch the new one because it goes back to that thing where I feel like when you reveal too much too fast, all the suspense goes away. Like when you see his teeth and then you see him pull the kid underwear and he bites the kid, it's like, well, you know, I already seen everything I need to see.
I don't like the It movies for the simple fact that they, I don't know, they leave out so much from what the books have. And I've not read the book. I'm not going to lie and say I have. But from what I've read about the book.
Yeah.
They leave out a shit ton of really good stuff. So that kind of bums me out. Otherwise, I thought the original when I was a kid that scared the shit out of me.
You didn't find out it was like the some fucking light entity until the very end of it.
A cosmic being, predates the universe, that sort of thing. If you read into any of the Dark Tower like mythology from Stephen King, you'll find out there's a couple creatures out there like it that exist. One of them is like the its arch nemesis they call the turtle. It lives on the edge of the universe. Like, I don't know, it's pretty neat. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with that.
And that's all related, like same in-universe as, wow.
So the Stephen King universe isn't just one universe, it's a multiverse. So the Dark Tower, for instance, you guys have heard of, sits at the center of the multiverse. It protects all the universes inside of it. All of them are kind of like shadow versions of each other where something might happen in this timeline. It diverges it from the original.
Right.
It's pretty neat, that whole Stephen King universe.
What's that other one?
Like The Stand, about apocalyptic fucking plague that happens. That takes place on Earth, but in another one of the side dimensions.
Yeah.
And the main bad guy in that, Walter Flagg, is known as the Man in Black in the Dark Tower series. He's in a lot of the Stephen King movies, actually. That character has a different name, but he's like a devilish demon type of character who basically is an agent of chaos that goes between these books and makes all these bad things happen, is just the agent of badness in the Stephen King universe. Hmm. Not even the worst one. There's like the Crimson King, who is above him.
He's got a pretty successful formula, Stephen King.
Yeah.
Like having inter-universe films like that.
How about Devil's Advocate? Remember that one?
It wasn't really horror, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, these ones that I have.
So Keanu Reeves?
Al Pacino?
Yeah, right. And then there's a similar one where De Niro plays the devil is in
Oyster Cult?
No, Johnny Johnny Angel, I think it's called.
I haven't seen it.
No, Angel Heart, that's it.
I've heard of Angel Heart, but I've not seen it.
Mickey Rourke. And it's voodoo and all kinds of pretty wild crap. It's pretty bloody, too.
Never seen it.
These ones were, you know, De Niro's Satan.
I don't think we have seen any of the same movies, Omar, ever.
Oh, you don't see good stuff, man.
He does not. Have you guys seen Candyman? The original Candyman?
Yeah.
Now, that was a good one. That's your standard, like, was it? Bloody Mary?
Something Todd.
Tony Todd. Great actor. He did a lot of good work in Star Trek, too. But have you seen that one, Omar, Candyman?
Long time ago.
So it's where you stand in the bathroom, look in the mirror, and say the name of Candyman three times, and the Bloody Mary, and he appears behind you. Yeah.
How old were you the first time you tried it?
Oh, right after I saw it, probably 8, 9 years old.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty brave.
Eric still won't do it.
He probably wouldn't.
Let's do it now.
No point in it. Yeah, nothing would happen.
What am I going to do that for?
What's that?
Let's put him in a room with a Ouija board and a mirror.
Did you guys ever see The Poltergeist 3?
Not the third one? No.
So it takes place in a tower in New York City, like a big skyscraper. She's gone to live with her aunt and uncle. Kane is back, and he's followed her there. There's mirrors all over this fucking skyscraper. Down the hallways, both sides are mirrors. And in the mirror world, you can see Kane and his people, like, you know, doing their thing on the side. Just a real scary thing. But there's one point in the movie, Carolyn's birthday or bedroom is entirely mirrored, right? She walks over to the mirror and looks at herself in there, puts her hands on it. Well, the other her on the other side, hands come, like the fingers come out and grabs her hands like that in a locking thing. Drags her up the mirror wall.
I remember. It was scary as fuck, dude.
I can't be in elevators now. I can be, but it fucks with me. Every time in an elevator, it's got mirrors on both sides or a bathroom where you got
front
and back.
What movie is that?
Poltergeist 3.
Oh,
never watched.
Tom Skerritt, Nancy Allen, the lady from RoboCop.
All the Poltergeists, not just the first one.
That little girl's dead. She died.
She died in the making of the third movie.
I think the doctor screwed her
during the third movie. They had to change the ending of the third movie because she was dead.
She had pneumonia or something.
Caused from, like, from the, I mean, unrelated to the
movie? Septic shock.
Yeah.
Died from septic shock during filming. Yeah, really weird.
Huh.
I just watched a documentary the other day on the making of that movie. Pretty weird. I don't know.
Somebody mentioned Children of the Corn.
There's a classic. That was, super scary, but
Outlander.
That's another Stephen King movie.
Malachi.
Yeah, right.
Kid's name, the red.
Isaac. He walks behind the rose. Uh-huh. Gatlin, Illinois, when that where it took place. Gatlin.
I think so.
Something like that. It was okay. Yeah, any of those are pretty good. Scream. I didn't dig the Scream movies. Didn't think they were scary. Too meta. Too fucking.
Yeah, they were a little too Hollywood for me. I didn't think they were.
Ooh, Child's Play flicks.
Mm-hmm.
The first Child's Play was kind of scary to me. After that, it kind of got goofy. Yeah. By the third one, where he's in military school, Andy. But
Is that the one? Which one's the one with Chucky?
Child's Play.
Is that Child's? Yeah.
That Pride of Chucky one. And
all. What was the name of that actor? Brad Dourif, I think his name is. Are you familiar with him, Armand? He did some good work in Star Trek. I love those Star Trek
Brad
actors.
Dourif?
Dourif, I think.
I think that's, that's a little too.
Anyways, that guy's a really good actor. He's got a great voice for voice acting. Like, just the voice of Chucky. Think about how scary that voice is. And that laugh. Yeah. Reminds me of Tales from the Crypt.
Trying to think.
Bride of Chucky, Child of Chucky.
I think Mercedes McCambridge did the voice in.
Brad Dourif is his name.
In Exorcist.
The fuck you, that voice.
Yeah, that one.
There was a new Chucky movie last year. Cult of Chucky.
Oh, my God. Really? Stop. Stop with the Chucky.
Exorcist was scary, obviously.
Yeah, let it fucking die.
Ooh, Faces of Death. Not necessarily a movie, more like a documentary. I've seen those. We used to watch those when we were little with our cousins.
Yeah, but that crazy cult with those guys, that's got to be fake, right? Where they're
I don't recall
smearing
so much
blood
about
all
it.
Over them like that. Man, that was wild.
I mean, cannibals do. You know,
lucky if I get one to do laundry for me. And, man, these guys.
Serbian film.
You find these women.
You seen the Serbian film?
It's terrible. Oh, yeah.
I tried to. I couldn't get through it.
I watched the entirety of that
fucking
weird
movie.
I
half an hour, and that was it.
Did
I
you finish it, Eric?
Couldn't deal with it.
Did you make it all the way to the end and see how it ended? It was horrible.
I thought it was really lousy.
Fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was messed up flick. You probably should watch that one, Zach, as soon as you get a chance.
I wouldn't do NC-17. I co-wrote that film.
That was you?
In Serbia.
Ashamed of it.
Well done.
Under the ghost name. Never mind. I can't pronounce it.
Can't pronounce my ghost name. That was kind of the point. I'm trying to go through here. See
I guess
any
the
more
scariest movies, though, probably would be ghosts, though. They're not slashers. They're not, you know.
That's the ones I like. Or the
haunted
ones that scare me the most.
Right?
Like your poltergeist, the play on your fear of the unknown, I think is the stuff that you can't control.
Right.
Where it's just a slasher and you can run away.
Right.
That's where you can sit there all day long and go, why don't they shoot him more than once when they're on the ground? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Well, when it's a ghost, you can't go, well, why don't they do this? What the fuck are you going to do?
Well, that's why I thought The Shining was so good. You can't leave the hotel.
Right, that's
snowed in. I mean, and yeah, it was
they
long.
Isolated them. Yeah. And Possession's good, too, because you didn't do anything about that.
Yeah.
There was one. Wasn't there one? Was it Incubus?
I heard of it.
Succubus.
Well, there's that, too, no. I think. Wasn't there? It may have been both.
I have not seen it. Moving on here. Carrie? Did you guys see Carrie?
Carrie was scary. The first one was super scary.
What was scary about that movie?
So whenever there's no audio and it's muted, after the blood hits her on the stage and there's no audience.
Now, let me get this straight. I've always
wondered. We're all
going
to laugh at you.
Right.
And that just plays.
She was just imagining that, right?
And you could see her snap. Her whole mentality just fucking broke right there.
But was she imagining that, I assume, right? They weren't really laughing at her, or were they?
No, she was. So what that was her mother saying, we're all going to laugh at you, talking about because she didn't want her to go to the dance.
Yeah, she was imagining it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're showing your nasty. Pillows.
But was she imagining the laughter?
That's what I'm saying. Was that imagined?
The blood bucket hit her.
Right.
Knocked
her. I think they were laughing at her.
Yeah. They really were. So they really were. I thought she showed them.
Travolta's old lady.
She got even either way.
She was hot,
that gal, man.
Susan Sarandon, is that who that was?
No. Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek.
No, not her. The one, Travolta's girlfriend.
Yeah, that blonde. I forget what her real name was, but.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, of course, that last, you know, I think that was the first one where they actually had that last little. Philip of horror with Amy Irving going to the grave, the dream sequence.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you didn't see that one coming.
No, the hand comes up out of the ground.
But I always thought that the scariest part was her mother, where she's like stabbing her, you know, in the house. She's taking a bath and getting all that blood off her. Because that was pretty intense. And that Jesus, that weird Jesus she had in the closet. Go to your prayer closet.
Oh, yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, that was scary.
What about the weird scene in there where she finally got her period and they start throwing pads of tampons and weird shit at her?
Do women really do that?
I think they do. Women are evil
and
crazy.
Brutal, man.
I wouldn't know. Number one, I've never had a period. Number two, I'm not a woman.
Ask your wife. They don't invite me to their social thing.
There's so many more we could go into here. That said, though, we're running out of time here in the studio. It's 15 minutes till quitting time today. We got to finish up a couple other things. Again, horror movies are some of my favorite movies out there. Eric's too much of a third time today pussy to watch them. I know Armand loves horror movies.
I like them, but yeah.
What about you, Zach?
Scary.
Are you a scary movie kind of guy, or are you just kind of
if it scares me, I'm for it. But most of the time, it just makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah, I feel you. It's got to be good scary. If it's just like, I'll just let it go.
Yeah, but if you're with a gal or something, well, I mean, I don't know about wives, but. I like the first, you know, on a sofa under the blanket. You want to watch a scary movie,
it's romantic.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's true.
She's scared. She's jumping hold
on
you.
Then she doesn't want you to go home.
I love
she
you, stay. Man.
There's the other thing about that Veronica
movie. I should be alone tonight.
We were watching it, and there's a scene when the detective's, like, approaching the front door, and then my my streaming froze, and then right, and then the front door to my house rings, the doorbell, and I was like, and she starts, Rachel starts freaking out, my girlfriend, and I was like, no, that's the movie, and she goes, no, that's the front door. So then it was the front door because it happened again, and then I walk out there and nobody's there. So very weird.
We had this story today where the person, they had the beat on the door. What would you guys do if you were sitting someplace or in your bedroom and you're the only one at home and there was a fucking loud three knocks on your bedroom door or wherever you were at and you went out and there was nothing there?
Probably would never even get up in the first place.
You probably wouldn't even check it out. Didn't hear it. Didn't happen.
What are you going to do? Nothing.
I'd
get up.
I'd just assume it's the police and hide.
I would have to investigate it. I can't let something like that just sit outside. It'd be worse to me not knowing.
No, you're right.
Than getting attacked. I think getting attacked would be better than not knowing.
I'd go in my Bruce Lee stance and...
Okay, Armand Russell, somebody
stand behind the door.
I'd be in my crouch.
Better not be a werewolf. That's the only thing he can do.
Right. Think you beat up a ghost, huh?
I think I could take a ghost. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Put him in a triangle.
Triangle joke, yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us again. This will be the last time we do this show or this year.
This year?
Well, not well, this show, this show.
Paranormal stories.
Sorry. Say, not Surreal Talk this year.
Are you taking 3 months off?
No, that'd be cool. But no.
Oh, yeah, this kind of show.
Team
yeah.
Zach. As we are contractually obligated to do, here's our little plug for Yo Radio this week. I know you guys have all heard us talk about Yo Radio. Obligated. I know, I just like talking about it. But now it's a really good time to check out Yo Radio. They've just launched a redesigned look with a bunch of new major look and feel enhancements, performance function. Get on there, engage with your favorite artists and influencers. You can sort your stations by genre or mood or listen to the stations that you know most popular on the app at that point in time. Check it out. You can get it curated live content from people like us. We're working on that Surreal Talk channel or the Conspiracy Channel. So,
oh yeah,
Yo Radio or there's so many good stations on there. Check it out. YoRadio.com, the Lake House, that's a good one. Or go to SurrealTalkPodcast.com/YoRadio. That'll take you right to the place to download the app on your phone. So give it a look. Otherwise, join the group, SurrealTalk, or Facebook.com/groups/SurrealTalkGroup. Go to SurrealTalkPodcast.com, vote in the poll.
Team Eric.
Yeah, vote Team Eric.
Somebody voted Team Everett because they listened to Ocho Man. That doesn't sound good.
That's probably because they were Team Armand and then listened to Ocho Man and was like, fuck this guy. Yeah, they probably never liked me. Let's be honest. Right. That's probably what happened.
There's a good chance of that. Any which way, blah de blah blah, lineupmedia.fm. Check us out some other time.
For sure.
All right, catch you guys next week.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks again, Zach, for coming on.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of fun.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.